Revelation 12 and verse number 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. Now the story changes in verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. This is the second event. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third of the stars of heaven, the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. Now, what is that third part? What is that? The fallen angels, right? Okay. Now, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now notice again verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. November this year, we'll go to this wilderness refuge. We're going to leave Israel and go into Jordan and travel to the rose-red city of Petra. Well, this is verse 6. And the woman's going to flee there, where she hath a place prepared by who? Of God. That they should feed her there in that city, Petra, 1,260 days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when you add those days up, that's 3.5 years. How many years are in the tribulation? 7 years. In the middle of the tribulation is the abomination of desolation. Then we enter into the great tribulation, those 3.5 years. And so this is where the woman will be hiding in that city of refuge for 3.5 years. Now the story changes again. And there was a war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, oh, here's a part I like, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives, what? Unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Bad news for the devil. Anytime I can get him to get some bad news, I think that's good news for me, good news for the church, and good news for the bride of Christ. Amen? Now, one of the ways that we have of delivering bad news to the devil is to prove to the devil that we have hope. The devil's a damner, the devil's a deceiver, and he is a destroyer. And what he doesn't want you to have by any means in this service is to have any hope. He wants you to be a hopeless believer. He wants you to be a defeated believer. And he wants you to doubt your Bible. And he wants you to doubt the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to try it by the help of the Lord, is to take some text that will thrill your soul and discourage the devil. And that would be bad news for him. In Revelation 12, verses 1 through 11, we see that this is a very, very important chapter. The 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation. The number 12 in the Word of God is an important number. If you studied with me in prophecy before, you know that the number 1 has to do with the unity and the purpose of God. Number 2 has to do with division or witness. The second book of the Bible is the book of Exodus. And in there we have Moses being told by God, go tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, I have a stammering tongue. I'm nervous. I can't go. He said, take your brother Aaron with you in the mouth of 2 witnesses. And the message was to be of separation. Egypt, a type of the world. Israel to be brought out. So in that second book of the Bible, we have the very beginning of the number 2, meaning separation or witness. And if we follow that all the way through to the New Testament, how do we have Jesus working with His disciples? He's sending them out 2 by 2. That started back in the book of Exodus. That's the principle of the inerrant, infallible Word of God. A foreshadow and a foretype that will never be conflicted, because God's Word will never conflict itself. It proves that it is the Word of God in the Old Testament and in the New. 3 is the number of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. 3 is the number of resurrection. On the 3rd day, we know that those numbers are important. Not for you to play the lottery. Not for you to have a lucky number. That you will understand the power of God's Word. And that God tied it together for the student of the Word to be encouraged. The number 4 is an earth number. 4 major points on the compass. 4 major seasons. North, south, east, west. That we would understand the 4 major winds. 4 is connected to our earth. 5 is the number of grace. Those of you that were just with us in the Holy Land, when we were there at the Pool of Mercy, there was only one way to get in. There were 5 terraces, 5 porches, 5 steps. The high place was made low so anybody could get into mercy. And it was the grace of God that was extended to each one of us. 6 is man's number. Man's born on the 6th day of the week. 7 is the number of completion. 8 is the number of new beginning. An octave in a piano. C, go up 8 notes, you get another C. It is the number of new beginnings, starting over. The 8th day of the week. 9 is the number of the fruit of the Spirit. 10 is the law of God, the 10 commandments. 11 is the number of chaos. What do we find in the number of chaos? In the number of chaos, what day did we have the trade towers brought down? The 11th day of September. And what city were those towers in? They were in New York City, in New York State. New York State was the 11th state to come into the Union. New York City, 11 letters. The plan to destroy them was in Afghanistan, 11 letters. And we find that those men that flew the planes were born in Saudi Arabia, 11 letters. And those giant towers made a giant 11 on the horizon, standing up all by themselves. And the first plane into the towers was flight number 11. An accident? No, it's a number of chaos. It was to wake the church up in America that there was a light going out and that America was becoming weak. America was becoming bowing down to the false gods of religion and to the gods of prosperity. And any time you start putting the light out, putting God on the shelf, telling God we don't want you. We don't want you to be a part of our children's life. No Bible, no reading the Word of God, no 10 Commandments in the courthouse. You're going to be left with chaos. 12 is the number of human government. And it is also the number of Israel. I don't have time to run on through all those numbers in review, but you've studied with me before. You know the power of those connected numbers. The number 12 is of the nation of Israel itself. Because God, why didn't God pick 11 tribes? Why didn't God pick 13 tribes? Why didn't God pick 10 tribes? Why didn't God pick 5 tribes? Why didn't God pick 100 tribes? When God chose to use Israel to illustrate His love for mankind, when God said, I will use Israel to be my living testimony of my word is truth, and that every man is a liar, and that my throne is higher than all thrones, and my power is greater than all power, and my authority is greater than all authorities. Hey! He said, I'll use a little nation of peculiar people that no one wants wandering around in the desert, and I'll take them, and I'll use them to illustrate who I am and what I am, and I'll use 12 tribes to tie it all together. What kind of God do we serve? The kind of God that sends bad news to the devil. That's the kind of God we serve. There are 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is connected to the nation of Israel. But if we start in the very beginning, we go to the book of Genesis, and what happens? Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God said, get thee out of thy country. He's talking to Abram. He said, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Isn't that something? We started off in Revelation 12, but if we back all the way back on the clock to Genesis 12, we have God calling Israel out of the wilderness. He said, I'll make you a nation in Genesis 12. And then He made a promise. And church, never, ever, ever forget this promise. It's Genesis 12, verse number 3. And the Word of God declares, I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse them that curse thee. You'll never bury that Word. You'll never get away from that. That's a promise. You say, well, Israel makes me mad. Their government makes me mad. Hey, they can get on your nerves and they can aggravate you and they can aggravate me. But the truth of the matter is, God's in charge. He controls the affairs of men, and I'm not in charge. I'm looking through an old glass darkly, and God said, I'm going to use them to prove who I am and what I am. And the way I'll send bad news down to earth and aggravate the devil is I will let them survive everything that comes against them, and I'll curse them that try to curse them. Genesis 12, they're called out. Exodus 12. Oh, what happened in Exodus 12? We found a way for them to live, for them to survive. There had to be a blood sacrifice. Genesis 12, they're called out. Exodus 12, they're given the Passover. And what do we see in verse number 3? We see a lamb. In verse number 4, the lamb. In verse number 5, your lamb. Hallelujah. I'm glad one day, 2,000 years ago, outside of old Jerusalem, God offered another lamb, a lamb that I could be alive and walk in this whole wicked, ungodly world and still be washed in the blood, kept by the blood, redeemed by the blood, protected by the blood, and bringing bad news on the devil that my God's alive and well because God had a lamb. It was the lamb, the Son of God, and He became my lamb and your lamb that we can have life eternal. Oh, glory to His holy name. He's worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. There's no lamb like God's lamb. There's no love like God's love. In verse number 13, He said, and when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Oh, won't you be grateful one day when you're standing in front of His holy eyes and He's looking at you and He says, what have you done with the blood of my Son? Have you spent your life on earth? And old justice will reach out to hold you accountable. Hey, and it looks like you're going to perish in front of those holy eyes. And just as justice reaches out for you, mercy will step in front and say, you've been covered by the blood. Because of the blood, that judgment will pass over you. That's bad news for the devil. Genesis 12, Exodus 12, Daniel chapter 12. Michael the great archangel is now brought up to defend, and he is the prince of all angels. And what's he going to do? The tribulation war is raging, and he's going to defend Israel. Israel cannot defend itself, has not enough might and strength, but now God becomes the warrior to defend little Israel. Genesis 12, Exodus 12, Daniel 12, Zechariah 12. We see the burden of the Lord for the little nation of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. In verse number 2, he said, Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling. In verse number 3, he said, it's going to be so bad on earth right before the king comes that Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone. The whole world will have Jerusalem tied around its neck. They won't be able to stand up. They'll be bowled over with this little piece of real estate. You say, it's not that real. It's not that bad. Hey, where's the President of the United States tonight? Where's he spending the night? He's in the King David Hotel in Jerusalem trying to put together some peace. But there's not going to be any peace till we see him, the King of Glory. Hey, but when they start trying to put peace treaties together, you might ought to pack up your heavenly luggage, because we're about out of here. The King's on the way to take the church home. The Antichrist has to break a treaty. He has to come in and make some kind of accord. And before they can make that false peace that will last 3.5 years, somebody's got to start the negotiation. Somebody's got to start the process. And for some strange reason, God Almighty, the King of Glory, looked down on planet Earth and said, I want you to be alive when they start putting that treaty together. It's going to be dark outside. Men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. But he said, would you stand strong? Would you be true? Don't let your heart grow weary in well-doing. Be on the welcoming committee for my son when he returns. That's how close you are. Why did God leave you alive? Why did God put you on this earth? He wanted you to be salt and light in the middle of all this. Hey, and it's bad news for the devil when there's somebody being salt and light. The devil doesn't know what to do with that. Zechariah 12 says, I'll be seeing that Jerusalem is a cup of trembling and Jerusalem is a burdensome stone. Daniel 12, the archangel. Exodus 12, Genesis 12. We see it. But let's go back to Revelation 12 for just a moment. Notice what's taking place. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet. The number 12 is tied to the nation of Israel. You say, Brother Ralph, I don't really see the connection. Well, just stop with me for a moment. What about Jacob? How many sons did he have? 12 sons in Genesis 35. The 12 stones in the Jordan River, Exodus 34. The 12 wells of water in Elam. That fresh water in Numbers 32. 12 officers for King Solomon over Israel in 1 Kings chapter number 4. King Solomon had some mighty horsemen. How many did he have in 2 Chronicles? He had 12,000 horsemen. I believe 12's connected to the little nation of Israel. 12 tribes divided the land of Israel in Ezekiel 47. Their 12 disciples set aside to serve the great rabbi, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 10. And we find that when 5,000 men, women, and children were served upon that mountainside, and they were given those baskets, passed them around, of fish and bread, when they got through serving, they had 11 baskets left over. 13 baskets left over. No, they had 12 baskets full left over. And you say, why 12? That's one for every disciple. So he'd have a little takeout to take home and shout on who Jesus is. It was bad news for the devil, because the devil had been telling those disciples they'll starve to death following Jesus. And God sent them a takeout that was so big they had to put it in a basket. That's just like Jesus. He always does more than enough. He's the God of abundance. He's the God of excess. He's the God of blessing. He could have left you alone and left me alone. I could have died and gone to hell. But He didn't do that. Oh no! He reached down deeper than the stain is gone and redeemed me with baskets full of grace and mercy. 12, the excess of a holy God. We have 12 legions of angels were available to our Lord in Matthew chapter 26. A Roman legion had 6,000 men. That means 72,000 angels were on standby. This is heaven's SWAT team. This is the first responders. This is the crowd that gets it done. One angel could whip every demon in hell, and God had 72,000 standing by, SWAT team from glory, ready to invade darkness and redeem the Son of God from His danger. But God's Son said, no, no, let me stay here, because Ralph will never get to see you, God, if I don't pay the price. And I want to give some bad news for the devil. I want to deliver saving grace for lost mankind. That's just exactly what Jesus did. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we find Jesus healing a little girl in Luke chapter 8. How old was she? 12 years old. We have in Luke 22 the 12 thrones for the 12 apostles to sit upon and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In John chapter 11, we find out that God established the day and the night. And He said there'll be 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night. Isn't that something? He had a plan, marked it with 12s. You remember there's a group in Revelation 7:5, sealed to go through the tribulation. 12,000 Jews for each tribe. 12 tribes, 144,000 sealed. Don't tell me God hadn't got Israel marked with the 12. Well, there's 12 gates in the walls of the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21. Do you think that's an accident? God doesn't do anything on, oops, I've got a leftover gate here. I wonder where I could stick this one. No! He designed and planned 12 gates in the New Jerusalem. And you begin to think about what God was doing, because on every gate is the tribe of the nation of Israel. And there's 12 letters in the two words, New Jerusalem. And there's 12 foundations in New Jerusalem with the name of 12 apostles on those 12 foundations of Revelation chapter 21. And there's 12,000 furlongs all the way around the length and the breadth of the city in Revelation chapter 21. And God said, that's not enough. I want to have a great big old gate made out of a solid pearl. And He picked out 12 giant pearls to be the gates of that city on those 12 foundations for those 12 apostles that are named after those 12 tribes at the 12 gates of the city called New Jerusalem. That's bad news for the devil, because it means we've got a home not made by hand. And He said, just in case old Slewfoot tries to sneak in, I think I'll put 12 angels. One big old angel at every gate. You can read about that in Revelation 21 and verse 12. Guarding the gates, 12 angels. And then He said, when you get inside New Jerusalem, He said, I'm going to put the tree of life. And then that something, He said, there's going to be 8 kinds of fruit. Huh? 50 kinds of fruit. No, He said, when you get home, sweet home, He said, by the river of life, there's going to be a giant tree. And it'll have 12 manner of fruit. You know why he did that? Because he put 12 months in our calendar. And every month we got to think about the good things of God, the greatness of God, and that all this that we are enjoying. And when we see Him, we shall be like Him, and we'll be out of the calendar business, and we'll be out of that kind of business, but He'll still be honoring those 12 tribes and those 12 apostles, and He'll still be honoring those 12 gates and the New Jerusalem. And He tied it all together. The number 12 is proven by the Word of God to be important and connected to the nation of Israel. And He made it bad news for the devil. Now watch this. Go back to Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Now, is that the Virgin Mary? No, it is not. Is that Mary Baker Glover Patterson Fry, who was married 5 times and started the Christian Science movement? No. That's neither science, by the way, or Christian. It's sort of like grape nuts. It's neither grapes or nuts. You know what I'm saying? You say, Brother Ralph, you shouldn't say that. Somebody ought to declare in this day of confusion that there's only one way to see the Father, and it's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other answer, church. You'll be surprised what you'll hear late night driving back from preaching. You know that this is the revelation. But my friend, the revelation is that it is God's inerrant, infallible Word, and God tied Revelation 12 to the nation of Israel. Now, watch this. Who is this woman then? There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. All right? So the woman is going to have a baby. Now the baby is going to be very special. So who is the woman? Israel. The woman is the world that we know. I'm not talking about the political government of Israel. I'm talking about the people, the chosen people, set aside by God. And God said, out of Israel, those 12 tribes, I'm going to let the Messiah be born. Now you listen to me right here. If God had wanted to, He could have let Jesus been born as a Cherokee Indian. And He could have used the Cherokees to illustrate grace and mercy. He's God. He can do anything He wants to. He can let Jesus be born as an Eskimo and illustrate it with those people. But God went down into the wilderness and He took those people out of the desert and He used the nation of Israel and He said, out of them will this baby be born, and He's going to be an important baby because His Father is going to be God Almighty. And He will be using a virgin's womb prepared of the Holy Spirit. And we know that Mary was of the house and lineage of David to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament that this truly is Yeshua, Messiah, that it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And even we could stand at the Wailing Wall tonight while they're standing there weeping and crying, putting in their prayers. Number one, they're saying, oh God, let us rebuild the temple. Let the temple be rebuilt. Oh God, let the Jews come home. Let there be a land for Israel. And number three, they're wailing, Bahamashiach! Bahamashiach! They're begging God to send the Messiah. They have more of a burden and travail than we do that understand who Jesus is. I was with Rabbi Chaim Richman a few months ago, and he gave me an unusual privilege. He took me back into the room where the Temple Institute are making all the instruments to be used in the Third Temple. And he took me in that room. And since I was there with him, they finished the breastplate. All 12 stones are on the breastplate. They've already made the garment of the high priest without seam. They've already made all the garments for the priest. He took a little key out of his pocket on a chain, unlocked the cabinet. And in there was a beautiful crown. And in there was a golden chalice called a Mithraic, where you catch the blood of the sacrifice. There's no base on it. It has to sit in a stand. And I looked at him and I said, he said, Ralph, do you want to hold it? And I said, I'd be honored. And so he gave me a pair of white cotton gloves and I put them on my hand and he handed it to me. And I took it out, the Mithraic, and I said, but Rabbi, I said, there's no way to set it down. There's no base on this. Once you get the blood inside it, there's no way to set it down. He said, do you know why? He said, once that sacrifice is killed and the high priest takes the blood, said, we don't want him to answer his cell phone. We don't want him to stop and talk. We don't want him to do anything until he goes into the Holy of Holies and pours that blood out on the mercy seat. And then he can declare, it is finished. And I said, what? What did you just say? He said, when he pours the blood out, then he can declare, it is finished. And I said, oh, glory to God. He said, I know what you're thinking. He said, your Messiah said that on the cross. It is finished. Because he had taken the blood into the Holy of Holies for my sin and for your sin, that we could have life eternal. He reached over and handed me this beautiful gold crown. In Hebrew it says, holy, unto the Lord. Very heavy. And I looked at that. Now I couldn't believe what I was holding. And he said, Ralph, I know what you're thinking. And I said, no, sir, you don't know what I'm thinking. He said, I bet I do know what you're thinking. And I said, what am I thinking, Rabbi? He said, you're thinking that quite possibly you might be holding a crown that one day will sit upon your Savior's head, the Messiah. And I said, yes, sir, that's exactly what I was thinking. And I turned and looked at him, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, oh, Ralph, it's so close. He said, you can't walk outside your house and not feel the Spirit of the Messiah in Jerusalem. He took the crown from me and laid it back in the cabinet, took a hold of my hand, and he said, let's agree together today here in Jerusalem that we'll meet with the Messiah when he comes. And he said, as you, a Christian preacher, and me as a Jewish rabbi, said we'll kneel at his feet. And we'll ask him, is this the first time or the second time for you to visit here? I'm telling you, church, people are ready around the world for the King to come. And it's bad news all over for the devil that our God's alive and well and Jesus is coming. And you need to understand, what is the symbol, church? What is the symbol of the Islamic world? Does anyone remember the what? Crescent moon. Where's this lady's feet? Do you understand God's going to fight for Israel? Look what it says. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. When God elevates the nation of Israel, the whole world will be gathering there and we'll see what's happening. We'll see the 12 stars in Genesis 37. The 12 tribes of Israel. And remember what Joseph saw. What did Joseph see? He saw all the other stars bowing down to his star. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen, you, for some strange reason, are blessed of God to be in that last generation. I wish I had time to go through all this, but I see a picture of a people. That people is Israel, past, present, and future. And verse 2 says the baby's about to come. And then I see a prophecy of a persecutor here in Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4. And in verse 9, he's identified as the devil himself. And he takes a third part of the angels. The devil hates Israel and wants to destroy the seed. Why do you think there's an unexplainable hatred for Jews around the world? Huh? Because the devil hates Israel. And he wants that seed to be cut off. He doesn't want the testimony of their perseverance. That's what Adolf Hitler tried to do by killing millions of Jews. And now all I have to do is just walk over there to Germany, and they made tourist attractions out of all those death camps, and walk over there to Hitler's grave and said, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse them." Huh? Did Israel go out of business? No. And our founding fathers and our granddaddies and our daddies preached that Israel would come home when there wasn't a nation to come home to. How'd they do that? By faith. My dad preached Israel would come back and there wasn't a nation of Israel. I see a picture of a people, the prophecy of a persecutor. And then I see in verses 5 and 6, the portrait of a prince. She brought forth a man-child who's to rule all nations. Buddy, that's bad news for the devil right there. To rule with a rod of iron. And he's coming back to rule. And this could be the very night that he comes. But not only do I see those things, I see the promise of a protector in verse number 7. Michael's going to come and fight and protect the nation of Israel. And then I not only see the promise of a protector, but I see a practical application for all of us here tonight. You say, what is that, Brother Ralph? In 2008, what does it mean for me? It says, and they overcame by the blood. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the emphasis is on the blood. Number one, you need to know your sins have been forgiven and covered by the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. They overcame by their testimony. And my friend, you need to see that they love not their lives. We don't need to be in love with this little old world. We don't need to be in love with the toys and trinkets of this world. We need to be in love with Jesus. And the devil will try to get your mind and your thoughts off Jesus. And when you do, you start having arguments and fusses. Husbands and wives start trying to get divorces. Kids get out in the world. Churches start diminishing. They start splintering. Pastors start shooting at each other instead of the devil. And the devil says, that's good. Y'all keep that up. That way nobody will be working against me, praying against me, and begging God to save souls that I'm going to damn. We need to get back to delivering the bad news for the devil. And that bad news from Genesis 12 to Revelation 12 is this fact. Number one, God is real. God the Son is real. And God the Holy Ghost is real. That's bad news for the devil. Number two, we got bad news for the devil because God's Word is true. We just proved it from Genesis 12, Exodus 12, Daniel 12, Zechariah 12. All of these Scriptures tied together proves the infallibility. No way someone could have orchestrated this, but a three times holy God, so you'd not be afraid to trust the Bible. And God wanted you to know, wanted me to know, that I wouldn't have to be afraid in this day right before the King comes. And then number three, God chose Israel to illustrate to this whole world His power, His glory, and His grace. There's no greater illustration for any of us than that nation of Israel. Number four, bad news for the devil is God uses Israel to tell time. That's bad news for the devil. Why? Because it proves that God's Word is true, proves God's true, and proves that God is going to deliver the nation of Israel just like He promised. That's bad news for the devil. Oh yeah, there's one more thing you need to take home with you. Number five, here's the fifth bad news for the devil. Revelation 12 and verse number 12. Here's some bad news for the devil. If you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, underlined, you need to highlight it. It's the latter part of that verse. Because it says, because he knoweth that he hath but, what? Short time. devil's a short-timer. Hey! He may be running up and down the road. He may be aggravating you, and he may jump in your room tonight and try to scare you. And when he does, you just look up and say, oh, you old sorry thing, you're a short-timer. Hey, your days are numbered. You're not going to last. I got bad news for you. God's going to rule and reign forever and forever, and you will be defeated by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's bad news. For the devil. He's a short timer. He won't make it. God's going to take care of His church. He doesn't care if you're in the 10th grade. He doesn't care if you're 110 years old. He doesn't care if you're retired. He doesn't care if you're working on your own business. Hey, God's going to take care of His children wherever they are. And the devil specializes in discouragement, defeat, distraction. And you've got to know through the Word of God, Genesis 12, Exodus 12, Daniel 12, Zechariah 12. You need to look at Revelation 12. That God put it all together so that when people's knees are knocking and they're trembling and men's hearts are failing them for fear and the talking heads on TV are saying, what are we going to do? Why, gas is $3.80 a gallon and the gold is going up and there's not enough food and the peace treaties aren't working. What are we going to do? And you just go, hallelujah. We're getting ready to get out of here. Because when you see these things, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. That's bad news for the devil.